Hi, I'm Dr. Ray Calabrese. Welcome to my podcast, Journey from Grief to Healing. Grieving is difficult. I know. I lost my best friend and wife after a long marriage. In this series of podcasts, you'll discover what you are experiencing physically and emotionally is normal. Healing is possible. Remember, love always wins. Life will get better. Episode 86. Imagine you and I are having lunch together. We sit opposite each other in the middle of a busy restaurant. There are tables on either side of us and tables behind us. There is a nice level of chatter. We agree to do an experiment. We each described what each of us can see while looking straight ahead. You see a harried waitstaff rushing in and out of the kitchen carrying orders. I see people waiting to be seated. They're relaxed and waiting for a table to enjoy lunch and a good conversation. You see a couple in an intense conversation. Is it a breakup? Are they arguing? I see a man proposing to a woman. They're in love. You get where I'm going with this. Each of us only sees half of the picture. Each of us are accurate, yet we're not fully accurate. We only have part of the picture. This is the way it is with grieving. We only see part of the picture. Because grieving is such a deep emotional experience, it is often impossible to accurately discern what is going on inside of us. We're overwhelmed with emotions and stress. What confounds the grieving person's situation is the difficulty in talking to someone other than a therapist are as a member of a grieving group, because we venture into the dangerous area of wanting to discuss what is undiscussable. When we can't enter into a dialogue about our grieving experience, we cannot begin to fully understand how I am experiencing what I am experiencing. We miss out on hearing someone share his or her view of how they see how I am experiencing what I am experiencing. Together, we have a fuller view. Separately, we each have only a partial perspective. Imagine you meet with friends and you want to talk about your grieving experience. You want to talk about the person you lost. You want to talk about the emptiness you feel. You want to talk about how you feel lonely, even when you are within a group of people. You want to talk about the possibility of another intimate relationship. Do you feel free to talk about these things? Or do you feel that there are things you can't talk about? The things you feel you can't talk about are called undiscussables. We can make excuses and say, I don't want to talk about it. I don't feel a need to talk about it. But they're simply excuses. Undiscussable grieving topics are those aspects of grief and loss that we feel unable or unwilling to openly discuss with others. Chris Argyris, who is well known for his work on organizational learning, posited that we operate with two theories, a theory in use, what we do, and an espoused theory, what we say we'll do. This helps to explain how grieving undiscussables come about. We have, for example, friends and family who will let us know that they are there for us. This is their espoused theory. We thank them, exchange handshakes or hugs. This is our espoused theory. We don't take up the offer from our family or friends for whatever fears or reasoning holds us back. This is our theory in use. Our family and friends seldom, if ever, ask, why don't you come over and talk about your grieving experience? This is their theory in use. If I don't ask, they won't tell. There comes a time when we have a choice of questioning our underlying assumptions, values, and belief about grieving, or to continue on the path passed on to us through family or societal conventions. We can begin by talking about the fears that hold us back from talking about what we need to talk about. Ironically, discussing undiscussable topics is crucial for understanding and healing during the grieving process. Fred Rogers wrote, anything that's human is mentionable, and anything that is mentionable can be more manageable. When we can talk about our feelings, they become less overwhelming, less upsetting, and less scary. The people we trust that important talk with can help us know that we are not alone. When we find a person who will listen without trying to fix us, we've found a treasure. This person understands that our grieving path forward lies within us. And the person we're talking to understands that the key to unlocking the door to discover the path forward is within us. Once we find this key, we will be free from the fear of vulnerability of disclosing our powerlessness in coping with grieving. When this happens, our undiscussables become discussables. Henry Nouwen wrote in Out of Solitude, Three Meditations on the Christian Life, "When we honestly ask ourselves which person in our lives means the most to us, we often find that it is those who, instead of giving advice, solutions, or cures, have chosen rather to share our pain and touch our wounds with a warm and tender hand. The friend who can be silent with us in a moment of despair or confusion, who can stay with us in an hour of grief and bereavement, who can tolerate not knowing, not curing, not healing, and face with us the reality of our powerlessness. That is a friend who cares." I'm hoping you have many friends like this in your life. And sometimes all you need is one, the one who'll listen and help you discover the key that will open the door to the path forward. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember, healing is possible. Never quit. Never give up. And good things are coming your way. You know it. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to get notifications of future episodes. You can also check out my blog, Looking on the Bright Side, at www.dancingalone530.com. It's all positive and uplifting. If you have any questions about my grieving experience, I want to share your grieving experience with me. Please email me at ray.breese@gmail.com. Have a great day, stay strong, and never quit, never give up.